Well, hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to December at Basic Gospel. We hope you had a blessed Thanksgiving celebration and are ready to move for sure into the Christmas holiday season. But for right now, if it's top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and this is your opportunity to call right into the studio and speak directly with us at 844-322-2742. So if you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss, call right now in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As we move into this Christmas season, we're going to talk a lot about Jesus and talk about why he came into this world, what he wanted to accomplish, what God the Father sent him to do. Mm-hmm. All these things are really embedded in this Christmas story, and it's just going to be wonderful to unfold it, to unpack it for us so that we can see it for what it really is. You know, the Christmas story is so familiar out there in the world today. I think everybody on the planet knows a little bit of the story of Jesus, his birth in Bethlehem, lay in a manger, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men. You know, all of that is pretty familiar out there. Mm-hmm. It's the why of the story that we miss. And that's what's been covered over by all the hype of Christmas, the consumerism, the materialism of Christmas that we get caught up in. But there is a why to this story, and it's not just so that we can have goosebumps around the Christmas season. It's so that we could be saved, so that we could have life everlasting, so that we could know God the Father for who he truly is. And that's what we see in the Gospel of John. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus Christ became flesh and blood. He became one of us. And when he did, he appeared, and we saw him, and he was full of grace and truth. Now John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me." Mm-hmm. Now that's John the Baptist giving testimony to Jesus Christ the Son. And then it says, "And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." So what is this Christmas story all about? Why did Jesus Christ become flesh and blood? Well, to make the Father known to us. All of us have misconceptions about God. Throughout human history, people have been making up stories about God. They've been inventing gods. They've been inventing gods after their own image. Yeah. But none of that is true. All of it's error. All of it's lies. There is only one true God, and he has made himself known to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So what is this Christmas story all about? What is this incarnation of Jesus all about? Well, it's about Jesus Christ making the Father known to you and me, telling us what God is all about. And when we really look into the face of Jesus Christ, when we really look into what he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection, we see this about God, that God is love.
Yes.
That's the thing that Jesus Christ reveals to us. Now, none of us would come up with a God like that. Why? Because fear, the fear that's inside of us, the fear of punishment, is going to paint God with different brushstrokes. We're going to paint him as someone who is mean and judgmental and exacting and vengeful and all of these things that human history has said about God. Mm-hmm. But none of it's true when we see God through the person of Jesus Christ. So why did Jesus come into this world? Well, it's very clear. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. That's Jesus. He has made him known.
Yes,
that's
has.
Why Jesus came in the world. And boy, when you know the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, your world totally changes. Your life changes, and everything about your life is now seen through the love of God the Father.
Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. And, friends, thank you that you're here to partake of these. We have open lines for you right now at 844-322-2742. If it's about 5 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, it's Basic Gospel Live, and you can call right now and speak directly with us in the studio at Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, let's go ahead and take a call. This one came in over the weekend. Let's listen now.
I just wanted to know where a passage at, I think I'm saying it correctly, God desired that none should be lost, but all should come to repentance. Could you tell me where that's found at in the Bible? Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Well, we certainly will. That's found in Peter's second letter, the third chapter, and it's verse 9. And I'm just going to read verses 8 and 9. It says, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. Oftentimes we lift up a prayer to God, and it seems like forever before there's any action on that particular prayer request. And you're thinking, man, my time frame is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Actually, my time frame was yesterday. God, get into action. Do something on my behalf. So oftentimes we're very impatient with what we think or what we've said to be the slowness of God, that he's slow to fulfill his promises. But he's not slow. He's patient toward us. And that is just astounding that God is patient with us. Now, that's the first facet, the first quality of God's love. Love is patient. So God is long-suffering with us. And here's why. He's not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. All would come to that point and see Jesus for who he is and turn from their empty way of life, turn from the ways of this world to Jesus and to receive him as their life. So that's God's desire. But he says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. That's a day that's coming. Well, that day is being pushed further and further out, at least from our vantage point, not from God's. But the reason is this simple thing, that God wants to bring salvation to as many people as possible. So we cry out to God, oh Lord, when are you going to make all things right? When is all of this evil going to go away? But God is saying, hey, I've got that all planned out. I've got all that worked out. I'm being patient toward individuals so that I can bring salvation. And here's the good news. God's patience toward you brought salvation to you. Mm-hmm. God was patient, for example, with the Apostle Paul. Here was this zealous dude. I mean, he was persecuting the church, blaspheming the name of God, and doing it all because he thought that's what God wanted him to do. He thought God was going to be happy and pleased with his actions on God's behalf. And then he met Jesus, and everything changed for the Apostle Paul. Now, God knew everything that was happening in Paul's life. He knew the pain and the persecution and the injury that Paul was bringing through his zeal. But God was patient toward that, and he worked it all together for good and brought Paul to his knees and turned him into this incredible proclaimer of the grace of God. And that's why Paul started his definition of love with love is patient, because he had experienced the long suffering of God toward him that eventually resulted in his salvation. So God, his patience, is patient toward us. And what does that mean? It means salvation.
Yes, it does. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us again. We have plenty of open lines. We want to hear from you. We want you to be a part of the broadcast at 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Well, this month, friends, we have something very special and different for you, those of you who are donors to this ministry. Most, if not all of us who participate in social media know what a meme is. It's generally defined as a humorous image, a video, or perhaps a chunk of text that is copied and spread rapidly throughout the internet. Well, at Basic Gospel, we see memes as a way of spreading powerful truths of the gospel, and that's the theme of the Basic Gospel 2020 calendar. Now, each month of the new year, you'll be reminded of a powerful gospel truth in meme form that you can share through your favorite social media. Well, we'll send you a copy of the 2020 calendar when you make your December donation to support this ministry, and then you can help spread the truth of God's grace and Jesus Christ on social media. You can donate now or anytime, of course, at our website, basicgospel.net. And Bob, I think Greg Park did a wonderful job in creating this calendar.
Well, he did, and it was his brainchild, and it came from a conference we did back in September.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting around talking about the conference and what we wanted to do and how we wanted to present the material. And Michelle Lister on our staff,
yeah,
has been creating these memes that we've been posting on, mm-hmm, Facebook and Twitter and all those various social media channels. And we decided to take some of those and make posters out of them.
Yeah.
And we put those posters in the front of the auditorium that we were in.
Mm-hmm.
And we noticed after every session, people would go up and they started taking pictures,
yeah,
of these posters. And some of the sayings or some of the quotes on there are really powerful. They really just cut through all the clutter and bring you to the essence of this good news and what it means to you. So Greg thought, wow, if people are so interested, they're taking pictures and they're wanting to share it, why not create a calendar?
Yeah.
So he did a masterful job in doing that, and we have it available for you. And there's a great, great thing about this calendar. There is a QR code, and boy, I sound tech savvy, don't I?
You do.
Have no earthly idea what that means, but it's a little black square, all
with
kinds
squigglies
of patterns,
yeah,
and you just put your phone camera on it, and it takes you to a website, takes you to the actual meme on that particular month,
yeah,
for that particular month, and you now have that at your disposal to share with your friends through social media. So he's made this a very interactive calendar,
yeah,
but it is absolutely beautiful. I took one home to Gina the other day, and she was ecstatic. She loves calendars, and she just thought this was just the best ever. So we want to put this in your hands as a way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel, and we need your help right now. This is critical. This is urgent. We want to finish this year in the best shape possible so that we can continue to broadcast this good news through these airwaves, mm-hmm, and through the various other platforms. So we hope that you will be as generous as you possibly can. A gift a day of $50, $100, $1,000 will be fantastic. And all of this leads up into a very special day tomorrow, which is Giving Tuesday.
Giving Tuesday.
So we have Black Friday, we have Small Business Saturday, we have Cyber Monday, and all of these days for spending money to buy things.
Yeah.
And a number of years ago, I think 2012, some people got together and said, well, why not tap into the generosity of the people here in America? Mm-hmm. And of course, this thing has gone worldwide.
Yeah.
And I think last year over $400 billion or something was given. I may not have that exactly right. We ministers, we tend to embellish and make it more.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of money given.
Yeah.
And we think it's a great way to give, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to give the gift of eternal life.
Through Basic
Gospel. And when you're proclaiming the good news, that's what you're offering, the gift of eternal life. That's what somebody receives when they receive Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, there's not a better gift than that. So we want you to give and be a part of Basic Gospel Nation. And tomorrow we're hoping that 200 people or even more will step up to the plate and give something. We're not looking for a specific amount. We're looking for, as far as a dollar amount is concerned, we're just hoping a lot of people will get behind the proclamation of the good news. So we hope you will be one of those, and we'll have more details about that on tomorrow's broadcast, as well as through our email communications. And we want you to be a part of this Giving Tuesday, and our gift is this beautiful Basic Gospel 2020 calendar that we'll say thank you with.
And once again, you can give now or anytime at basicgospel.net, a big prominent donate link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, another question that came in off hours, let's listen to this one.
Hi, my name is Robin, and they said to call if we had something we were thankful for. I was diagnosed 20 years ago with a condition called reflex sympathetic dystrophy, and I was crippled up in pain using a wheelchair, and I am walking today. Praise God. It's all about Him, and someday I'd love to share my story. Thank you.
Well, Robin, thank you so much for sharing that little snippet, and what a miracle for you, and certainly something to be thankful for. And there's so much in all of our lives that if we will just look and see what God has done, we will live in this attitude of thankfulness, you know, 24/7. At least that's the hope. That's the desire. Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God. There have been studies by scientists and that sort of thing, and they are starting to see the positive benefits for thankful attitudes, as if God didn't know about that all along.
Yeah.
And if we'll just listen to what God says, and if we'll just receive what God has provided for us in Christ Jesus, we're going to respond to that with an attitude of thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And as we walk in that attitude of thanksgiving, we let that become our way of life, we're going to see some positive benefits on every single level of life that we experience, spiritually, emotionally, volitionally, just with how we act and all of those things. So being thankful is a great way to be, and the only way to truly be thankful is to respond to the grace of God that's been given to us in Christ Jesus. And Robin, we're rejoicing with you for this wonderful gift that you've received, and thank you for calling Basic Gospel and sharing that with us.
Yes, indeed. And once again, we have time on the clock and open lines for you right now at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, we had this question from a relatively new friend of ours, who his name is Bobby, and he wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app. He says, when I confess my sins to God, do I have to remember every little thing that I did, or is it good enough to confess what I know and accept that God will forgive me for the things that I didn't remember to bring before Him? Sometimes, after a prayer, I'll remember something I did, and then I will pray about it. I spent so much time bogged down in repenting of sins. Thank you for everything. May God richly bless you and your ministry.
Well, thank God that our forgiveness is not based on our ability to confess each and every sin, because we're going to miss a whole bunch.
And you could stay bogged down.
Yeah, you stay bogged down. So, one, confession is, or forgiveness is not tied to confession. Forgiveness is tied to the blood of Jesus Christ. So He offered Himself once for all sin, for all time, 2,000 years ago. And when we receive Jesus, we receive forgiveness of sins. We see that time and time again. Acts 10:43, Peter is talking to Cornelius and his household, the first Gentiles that received the good news. Mm-hmm. And he said, the prophets testify that everyone who receives Him, who believes in Jesus Christ, receives forgiveness of sins. That's tied to justification. The fact that we've been made righteous is proof that our sins have been forgiven. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, that in Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. It doesn't say in accordance with the riches of our confession.
Right.
It's in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We see in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, John writes, I write to you, my little children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So it's done. If you're in Christ, you have forgiveness of sins. God doesn't dole it out sin by sin, day by day. He just gave you forgiveness. He has wiped them all out. Jesus took care of it through his sacrifice on the cross, and now you have been released from sin and death so that you can walk freely in the newness of life. So, Bob, you are a forgiven person in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
There's nothing that you need to do to gain more forgiveness. There's nothing that you need to do to clean your slate. There's nothing you need to do to make yourself more righteous.
Mm-hmm.
You've already received the cleansing, the forgiving blood of Jesus Christ. You have been made righteous. You have been declared to be a child of God. You're holy and blameless in God's sight, perfect forever. So rest in that finality. So when sins come to your mind, you can freely confess, not for forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
but just to have this open conversation with God the Father so that you can learn how to live in this world of darkness as a child of light. And that is by faith. That is by dependence upon your Creator, something that was foreign to us that needs to be made clear as we grow in the grace of God. So you can confess freely, not for forgiveness, but just as a part of this relationship you have with the Father.
Yes, indeed. Well, Bob, I think we have time for one more question on this edition. This is from Victor from Copper's Cove, Texas. Victor writes, as a new covenant Christian, am I required to attend church since my salvation is not based on this and grace is freely given? I pray and listen to grace messages since we are the church. Isn't that enough?
Well, we are the church, and that's important for us to understand, and we're not the church individually. We're individually members of the body of Christ, and that's what the church means when we see the word church in the New Testament, specifically in Paul's letters. He's referring to the body of Christ, and we've all become members of this body of Christ. So we belong to Christ. We belong to one another. So there's something now inside of us that wants to connect with other believers.
Mm-hmm.
That's just part of what it means to be a Christian, that you want to connect with other believers. So going to church, we should probably better say that, hey, I want to go fellowship with some other like-minded believers.
Yes.
I want to enjoy the unity that we have in Christ because of the grace of God. I want to get the full experience of who Christ really is, and I can only get that as I am connected with other members of the body of Christ. Why? Because I have a spiritual gift, and you have a spiritual gift, and then everybody has spiritual gifts. Those gifts are for the edification of the body, the mm-hmm. building up of the body. And we're not going to see the full measure of Christ just alone.
Sure.
So we need to be connected with other members of the body of Christ. It's vitally important. There is an overwhelming ministry that takes place when we connect one to another. So don't miss out on that.
Sure, yeah.
Don't miss out on that. Go find a group of believers, like-minded believers, and get connected and share with them, and just let the Spirit of God do its work in and through that group. It is a powerful, powerful reality that we have as fellow members of the body of Christ.
Good stuff, Bob. Thank you for that. And we appreciate all of those of you who contact us to post your questions, and we hope that the answers are edifying to you. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, friends. We're glad, as always, that you were with us. If you have questions you'd like us to answer, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Or send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Also, thanks to everyone who helps in supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. You are the reason that we're able to be on the air each day with the good news of this gospel of Jesus Christ. To help with your gift today, click donate at basicgospel.net. And as you make your December gift, we'll send you the Basic Gospel 2020 calendar with memes for every month of the year to help you share the gospel of Jesus Christ through social media. We hope you'll make your gift right now if you can at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again tomorrow at the same time, same station for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.